KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Starting Friday morning with some wet roads, but the chance of some sunshine by this afternoon. These are some of the stories coming up on the KOMO Morning News.
Happen to remember those long lines for gas in the 70s? I'm Brian Calvert, and we're now seeing the same thing for the vaccine.
Move educators and school staff up the list for the vaccine. I'm Carlene Johnson, district leaders pleading with the governor.
Traffic and weather on the way in 4 minutes, but first, ABC News. It's 7 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Inspector General of the Justice Department announced a review into how the Department of Justice prepared for and responded to the violence at the U.S. Capitol last week. Over 100 people have been arrested so far, and ABC's Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas says law enforcement is preparing for the potential of more violence.
A new FBI bulletin warns violent offenders could overwhelm local, state, and federal law enforcement at state houses and government buildings during expected protests in all 50 states. And the fallout continues from the assault on the Capitol. More than 30 lawmakers are calling for an investigation into last week's insurrection, describing what they call an extremely high number of outside groups being given tours inside the Capitol just one day before the uprising.
Police officers who were hurt are telling their stories. D.C. Metro officer Daniel Hodges, who was seen being crushed in a doorway, says he feared for his life.
There's a guy ripping my mask off, and he was able to rip away my baton and beat me with it, and he was practically foaming at the mouth. So just these people were true believers in the worst way.
A new ABC News Washington Post poll finds more than two-thirds of people believe President Trump bears at least some responsibility for the attack. Joe Biden will be president in 5 days. Thursday, the president-elect unveiled his $1.9 trillion plan to help emerge from the pandemic. It includes $1,400 direct payments and plans to speed up vaccine distribution. Dr. John Brownstein's an ABC News contributor and infectious disease expert.
100,000 new public health workers that are going to come in to help support the states. That's huge. These states are so spread thin right now in the response to the pandemic.
11.1 million doses have been administered so far of the vaccine. Today, the federal government plans to execute Dustin Higgs, the 13th execution since July, the last of the Trump administration. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The KOMO Morning News.
It's 7:02. Friday morning is here. We have cloudy skies to start the day, and the temperature in Seattle is 46 degrees.
Along with Greg Herschel, I'm Matt DeFactor. Here are the top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center.
The number of new COVID-19 cases here in Washington continues to swell, and so does the demand for the vaccine.
We get the update from KOMO's Brian Calvert.
The State Health Department reported another 2,729 new COVID cases yesterday and 38 new deaths. The virus continues to spread, and it's fueling a desire to get the vaccine. And that's causing another issue. People waited all day yesterday for the vaccine at a drive-up site in Squim, even though the last car was allowed in line before 7 a.m., meaning many of those had waited overnight for a chance to get the injection. Some fear it's a sign of things to come, and state officials worry that phases of those who can be vaccinated are advancing far faster than the pace of opening injection sites. For example, Skagit County plans to move to the next phase of vaccination January 26th. That phase will allow many more people to qualify. And at this point, the county isn't certain it will have the doses to satisfy demand. Brian Calvert, KOMO News.
The number of COVID vaccines available to states is based on the number of people living in each state. Here on the West Coast, the Centers for Disease Control says if you look at the amount of available doses per 100,000 people, Washington State falls second behind Oregon. California is in third, and nearly 3,000 people out of 100,000 here have been given the vaccine.
More school district leaders are calling on Governor Jay Inslee to bump education staff up the list for getting the COVID vaccine.
Public health officials say, though, that the state does not have the supply of doses to do that yet. Here's KOMO's Carlene Johnson.
Secretary of Health Dr. Umair Shah said this week, with limited vaccine supply, the priority initially has to be on the most vulnerable, healthcare workers, residents, and staff at long-term care homes.
By making pronouncements, we are simply having people get into even longer lines, which only adds to the frustration and consternation of everyone and doesn't help us get vaccines administered.
But that approach does not consider the long-term impact on students' mental health and lost learning. That message from State Superintendent Chris Rakedahl in a letter this week to Governor Inslee and Dr. Shaw. Everett Hale reports the superintendents from Everett, Edmonds, and Mukilteo sent the governor a letter yesterday echoing that request. And the Kitsap Sun reports superintendents from Bremerton, Central Kitsap, North Kitsap, South Kitsap, and Bainbridge sent a similar letter this week urging educators be moved up the list. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
Coming up on the Como Morning News.
We will do everything in our power to defeat you. I'm Corwin Hake. Backlash against a Washington Republican who voted to impeach.
Como News Time 7:04. Traffic and weather now from the Duman Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Kiara Jordan.
Well, our crash in Seattle northbound 99 at the First Avenue South Bridge. Good news, no longer blocking the HOV lane, but we are fighting delays on both 99 and 509 into the area. North 99 backed up for a bit over a mile at this point. Another crash in Seattle, that's still partially blocking our ramp from Mercer to northbound I-5. Northbound I-5 working with slowdowns that start a bit south at the West Seattle Bridge and stay with you toward Mercer. And we're also seeing scattered slowing north 5 right as you're coming out of Federal Way, making your way into South Center. Northbound 167 off and on slowing from Highway 410 into Pacific. Northbound 405 continues to tap the brake pedal between State Route 169 and Northeast 44th. Our next Como traffic out, 7:14.
A look at the weather now. Here's meteorologist Kristen Clark of the Como forecast team.
A little light rain late last night left the pavement wet in many spots this morning, but we should see sun emerge by this afternoon for most of western Washington, the exception being central Puget Sound, holding on to the rain clouds maybe for a little bit longer into the afternoon. Tomorrow, morning sun will fade to afternoon clouds ahead of the next light rain Saturday night. That should wrap up early Sunday for a dry finish to the weekend, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday, also dry, but turning colder late next week, and there's a possibility of a very light rain-snow mix in our foothills by Wednesday night. In the Como Weather Center, meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Seen a few showers in the Puyallup area where it's 46 this morning. Here in downtown Seattle, just cloudy and 46.
And Como News Time 7:06. A Republican member of Congress from this state was well aware that some of her supporters would react badly to her vote to impeach the president.
Well, the backlash has begun as we hear from Como's Corwin Hake.
In her one-minute speech Wednesday on the U.S. House floor, Jamie Herrera Butler said she knew her vote to impeach could be politically costly.
I'm not afraid of losing my job, but I am afraid that my country will fail.
Now we're learning a GOP group in Herrera Butler's Southwest Washington district promised retribution even before the vote. In a letter to the Congresswoman, the group Clark County Republican Women wrote, quote, "If you vote to impeach, you will never receive our support or votes again." The letter adds, quote, "We will do everything in our power to elect a conservative candidate who represents our values." Herrera Butler has not responded. She and Yakima's Dan Newhouse were among only 10 House Republicans nationwide to vote for impeachment. Corwin Hake, Como News.
With the turmoil created by the pandemic, the U.S. Capitol riot, and the impending departure of Donald Trump, people already worn down by COVID-19 fatigue are feeling even more anxious.
Como's Suzanne Fahn talked to an expert about when to seek professional help.
Tons and tons of calls I've been getting from people seeking treatment for the very first time.
Clinical psychologist Dr. Mylene Duong is among the mental health providers inundated with patients seeking treatment.
The level of calls that I get from people seeking treatment is more than I've ever seen in my entire career.
For some people, the social isolation and the stresses of living with COVID-19 have been a huge factor. And now seeing what's happening in the news, in our nation's capital and our own capital, is compounding the stress and uncertainty for some people.
Como News Time now, 7:08. Now we turn to airline security, and the airlines are stepping up their security on flights to and from the nation's capital amid the new threats of mob violence in time for the inauguration. Como's Joel Marino spoke with passengers at SeaTac Airport.
Passengers will get extra scrutiny if they're headed to Washington, D.C. With the inauguration looming and protesters expected from around the nation, airlines are adopting temporary new rules.
I don't think you can be too cautious given everything that's going on.
Several airlines won't allow firearms inside check baggage for the next week for flights headed to the nation's capital.
I'm all about Second Amendment rights.
Masks are already required to fly commercially, but after a rowdy group of passengers refused to wear them on a flight back from D.C., Alaska Airlines is doubling down. Extra flight attendants are being added to support compliance. Limits are being placed on ticket sales to and from the D.C. area. Passengers must stay in their seats for 1 hour from takeoff or landing near the U.S. Capitol, and pilots will be ready to divert to the nearest airport over disruptive behavior.
Most of these security changes changes will expire a few days after the inauguration has ended.
A 19-year-old man is being held without bail now, accused of kicking two women in the head in two separate attacks. Isaiah Lewis was free on bond just one day before he allegedly kicked a woman in the head on a Metro bus. He's also accused of kicking another woman in the head as she was planting flowers on a street in Belltown a day later. He's back in jail, and this time a judge denied bail. Lewis faces numerous charges for assault.
A member of the King County Council is demanding improvements after a warning siren failed to go off during a test at the Tolt River Dam this week. A break in that dam could flood the city of Carnation in 90 minutes, and Councilmember Kathy Lambert says the warning system is critical.
It was the third example of where the Seattle Utilities Department did not do what they were supposed to do.
That dam is owned by the city of Seattle, and last July, you recall, a siren went off by mistake, sending people scrambling to evacuate. Lambert is calling for a robocall system to alert people in the event of such a mistake.
Como News Time, 7:10. Time to get to the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk. Once again, here's Tom Hutler.
Well, the road doesn't get any easier for the Husky men's basketball team tomorrow night to visit UCLA, the top team in the Pac-12. The Dogs lost at USC last night, 95-68, seventh straight setback, while the Bruins improved to 10-2, 6-0 in the conference with a 91-61 win over the Cougs. Meanwhile, former Kings High star Corey Kispert popped in 23 points to lead Gonzaga to their 17th straight win dating back to last season. They pounded Pepperdine 95-70. Tonight, the Seattle U-Men open Western Athletic Conference play hosting Utah Valley. Russell Wilson said yesterday he was not in favor of replacing offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer. While the Seahawks did that earlier this week, speaking via Zoom with the media from Mexico yesterday, Wilson said he has to defer to Coach Pete Carroll's decision and experience in firing Schottenheimer and hiring a new play caller.
Listen, he's been doing this a lot longer than I have, you know. And so, you know, you're going to trust his decision. But I think at the same time, you know, I obviously going to miss Shotty. I think he's going to be great at it. Wherever he goes.
Tomorrow's conference semifinals begin in the NFL. The Rams at the Packers, followed by Baltimore at Buffalo. Sunday, the defending champion Chiefs host Cleveland, and it's Tampa Bay at New Orleans. And in the NHL, TJ Oshie, who grew up in Everett, had a goal and a couple of assists, helping the Washington Capitals to a season-opening 6-4 win over Buffalo last night. Sports at 10 to 40 past each hour. Tom Hutler, Como News.
Como News Time, 7:11. People across the country are waiting in long lines these days to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Here's ABC News correspondent Matt Gutman.
From California to New York, mass vaccination sites struggling to meet soaring demand. In Long Island, 88-year-old Charlotte McKenna in line for a shot.
I'm very grateful.
But no luck for her 65-year-old daughter, who just became eligible.
Once it went to 65, that was the end. There was not one ounce of availability on any site.
The state now gets about 300,000 doses each week. But at that rate, it would take 6 months to reach the 7 million New Yorkers now eligible to get that first shot. And across the country, confusion. Phone lines jammed, websites crashing.
This has been really frustrating because there's nowhere to turn. There's no options, no matter how smart you are.
Hospitals just as swamped as vaccination sites.
Antelope Valley Hospital has one of the busiest ERs in the state of California, with 30 to 40 people waiting for beds at any given time. And that's why they received this field hospital with 50 beds that is typically deployed to disaster zones like Iraq or Haiti.
The field hospital is ready to go, but for one thing. Oxygen.
So everything is ready. The thing that's missing is oxygen.
Oxygen. We need a large quantity of oxygen at all times, constantly. We can't ever run out. Because if we run out,
they could die.
And looming over it all, that UK variant, now confirmed in 13 states. It's not more deadly, but it is more contagious. The family of Felicia Parker says she lost her life to that variant.
I wish she would have had a chance at life. She's only 40 years old. It's a life gone too soon.
President-elect Joe Biden has picked a former Food and Drug Commissioner to lead vaccine science in his drive to put 100 million shots into the arms of Americans in the administration's first 100 days. Dr. David Kessler, who will have the title of Chief Science Officer of COVID Response, headed the Food and Drug Administration in the 1990s under presidents of both political parties.
Los Angeles County public health officials are urging providers of the coronavirus vaccine not to let a single dose go to waste. Mayor Eric Garcetti says If that means giving shots to people who aren't yet eligible, then so be it.
At a city site where we had a little bit extra one day, we didn't want to waste that. So we told the local police station, send over a few people and get it in the arm of police officers because they're going to be next.
Many clinic operators in Los Angeles reportedly have been confused about a certain rule in L.A. County's vaccination plan. The wording makes it seem like they are required to throw opened doses away if people don't show up for their appointments. Close to 500,000 healthcare workers are still waiting for their first dose of the vaccine there in L.A. County.
Como News Time 7:14, our Como traffic now. We do that every 10 minutes on the fours. From the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center, here's Kiara.
Oh, we're trying to recover from an earlier crash in Seattle, northbound 99 at the First Avenue South Bridge. That's why we're finding delays into that area. We have a stall that's partially blocking the southbound I-5 on-ramp from MLK Jr. Way. That long-term crash in Seattle that's been partially blocking the ramp from Mercer to northbound I-5, that is now completely cleared out. We are working with heavy slowing on North 5 that begins a bit south of I-90, stays with you to the convention center. Northbound 405 is slow and go from State Route 169 toward Newcastle. Northbound 167 crowding fairly heavily around Highway 410 in Sumner. We see some lighter slowing into Pacific, some scattered slowing and pockets of slowing out of Auburn and into Kent as well. Our next Como traffic at 724.
And here's the Como forecast. A few morning showers and then partly sunny skies this afternoon. We're expecting a high temperature about 50 degrees and partly cloudy skies overnight with lows about 38. Looks like a mostly cloudy Saturday, but there's no mention of rain until overnight Saturday into Sunday. Chance of a few showers on Sunday and mostly cloudy and probably dry on Monday. But this morning it is wet, especially from around the Puyallup area down south all the way toward the Longview area. And there's some showers in the Everett area. Cloudy in Seattle and 46 degrees.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
It's 7:16, the Como Morning News. It's Friday. Frank Lindsay's at the editor's desk. And with Greg Hirschfeld, I'm Amanda Factor.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says this morning that the incoming administration's plan to provide COVID vaccines to 100 million people in 100 days is doable. Fauci telling the Today Show that vaccine rollout has not worked as smoothly as possible so far, but he anticipates better coordination between federal and state authorities under the Biden administration.
President-elect Joe Biden has unveiled a $1.9 trillion stimulus plan,
calling for an additional $1,400 in direct payments to most Americans, on top of the $600 checks most just received, plus $130 billion to help schools reopen safely, and $160 billion to build a national vaccine program and boost testing.
I know what I just described does not come cheaply. But failure to do so will cost us dearly.
Biden slamming the vaccine rollout so far, calling it a dismal failure, and promising change when he takes the oath of office in just 5 days.
We'll have to move heaven and earth to get more people vaccinated, to create more places for them to get vaccinated, to mobilize more medical teams to get shots in people's arms.
Biden is eager to get to work, but President Trump's Senate trial is likely to overshadow his early agenda. The president-elect is now calling on Congress to do both, deliver Americans badly needed relief, while also weighing Trump's conviction, with a trial expected to get underway as soon as Inauguration Day.
I look forward to working with members of Congress from both parties to move quickly to get the American Rescue Plan to the American people.
Now, Biden, of course, campaigned as a bipartisan deal maker, but getting Republicans to buy into this with this sky-high price tag is going to be a challenge. Biden argues while it won't come cheap, he says this is about morality, not money.
That's ABC's Mary Bruce.
Speaking of the inauguration ahead, the United States Capitol Police have enhanced security measures across the Capitol complex, and there's an ominous warning to law enforcement coming from the FBI.
We get more from ABC News Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
The new FBI bulletin urges authorities in D.C. and all 50 state capitals to prepare for a fight or face the prospect that violent offenders could, quote, overwhelm local, state, and federal law enforcement. With an expected 21,000 National Guard available, there are now more troops in Washington, D.C. than U.S. military in Afghanistan and Iraq combined. Razor wire, blocked streets, a city fortifying itself. Officials shutting down the entire Capitol complex and floating the possibility of keeping everyone off the National Mall.
The National Mall normally would be filled with hundreds of thousands of people who come to watch the inauguration. Shutting it down would be unprecedented, but it shows you just how concerned officials are.
All this because the FBI believes that last week's assault emboldened right-wing radicals to return and pursue more violence.
Anybody who plots or attempts violence in the coming week should count on a visit.
Sources telling ABC News, different groups from around the country appear to be coordinating. FBI Director Wray briefing chiefs in major cities, telling them to be on the lookout for potential lone wolf actors that could blend in with more peaceful protesters.
When you have people come down to peacefully protest and get a large crowd and some bad actors infiltrate that, that can turn a peaceful crowd into what we've seen in the past.
At the same time, they're pursuing rioters by the dozen. Suspects like Kevin Seafried, arrested in Delaware along with his son. Robert Sanford, allegedly the man hitting several police in the head with a fire extinguisher. He's a retired firefighter from Pennsylvania, turned in by a longtime friend who recognized him in the FBI photos. And Jenny Cudd, in a since-deleted Facebook video posted after the riot. Authorities say she admitted to breaking into the Capitol.
We did break down the Nancy Pelosi's office door.
More than 30 members of Congress are calling for an investigation, calling it suspicious that an extremely high number of outside groups in the complex on January 5th, the day before the riots, which is unusual given that public tours of the Capitol ended in March 2020 due to the coronavirus pandemic, and claiming that some of the visitors appear to be associated with the rally that preceded the riot.
Como News Time 720. Time for the Propel Insurance Money Update. If you're collecting money under the federal pandemic unemployment compensation program, you can start getting another $300 a week starting today. This additional money will be given each week that you receive unemployment benefits for up to 11 weeks.
Space travel company Blue Origin is hoping to send their first passengers into orbit by spring. CNBC reports the company owned by Amazon founder Jeff Bezos had another test flight of their New Shepard rocket booster, and it was a success. It was one of two stable configuration test runs before the company's first crew takes flight. If all goes well on the second test, the beginning of April is the earliest passengers could potentially fly.
There's some good news this morning from the summit at Snoqualmie Pass. The power has finally been restored after the wind storm, and that means they say that they're back to their regularly scheduled programming with Alpental and Summit Central, opening at 9 o'clock this morning, staying open for night skiing. Summit West will be open for night skiing from 4 p.m. until 10 p.m.
Checking Wall Street, suddenly stocks are moving quite a bit lower. The Dow down 344 points now at 30,647. S&P 500 down 40, and the NASDAQ is down 1%. That's 135 points.
Yeah, coming up next, we'll pose the question in our daily trivia contest, and of course, we'll check traffic and weather.
Pandemic to protests, Wall Street to the White House. The news never stops. For continuing coverage, stay connected, stay informed with Como News 1000, FM 97.7, and streaming live on your smart speaker. Como News.